So we're back. We're back. AKA. AKA. I stopped recording the last episode and then just started to record again. I like bringing that to the attention of the audience. Like, this is just a back-to-back recording thing. Back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. At least usually three back-to-back. Depending on where the mind goes. I don't got a whole lot of specific things to ramble about or rant about. Heading back into the cold for a much needed walk. When you realize you could, because the mental health and the physical health, both of those things needing to be maintained, being overly fixated on, you know, the maintenance of one and leaving the other one to fall by the wayside. It's kind of like, ugh. The game balancing that shit well, you know. And I mean, you can't really, I mean, it's easy. I don't really want to say one is more important than the other, really. I know we live in a world of these false dichotomies. Like, oh, one is better than the other. But I think you can ask anybody who's been severely out of shape, usually, or maybe not out of shape, severely overweight, that it's not necessarily, they're not binge eating because they're happy, you know what I mean? Or at least maybe they rationalize it that way afterwards. Oh, I'm happy. Oh, I won an award. Time to binge eat. Maybe that's the rationalization after the fact. But usually it's the sign of some void that needs to be filled. So with that said, the mental and the physical go together. And then I wonder, but then you have to add another kind of extension. I guess I should say extending the conversation towards financial health. It's like, if you're not right in the head, it'll show on the body. It'll also affect your income in the sense that you're not performing at the toppest of levels. At the level you need to operate on, to execute on. So all these things are kind of like connected. Not even kind of, they are connected. And so in that little stretch of, you know, conventional job, you know, it's like you never really getting the mental part down 100%, and then as a result it manifests itself in locking oneself away indoors as soon as they get home. Because I always look outside, you know, I'm always looking out at my window. I think this is one of those things that, like, when you live on a ground level or a basement kind of apartment, you tend to look outside a lot because you can see the street. And it's just easy to look outside. And you always see people just living their lives, right? And this is kind of an extension of that conversation about, like, observing life versus being a participant. You're kind of looking like, wow, these people, they worked all day, and now they're back in the minus 30, doing whatever. And it's not to say that, you know, I don't have any of that. It's like, you go to the movies, you go shopping, you go roam, you go to a cafe, go take pictures. It's like there's various things to do outside in the cold. But the thing is, it's like it seems so effortless for most people because most people aren't thinking about it. You know what I mean? This is the autopilot thing that I'm talking about. Most people don't have to think about needing fresh air. Most people don't need to think about having to go outside. No, most people need to think about eating properly or eating healthily Or maybe I'm just kind of, you know, giving people too much credit. You know what I mean? Maybe they do think about these things. I don't know. What I do know is this. What I do know is that whatever that kind of switch is that allows people to go on autopilot, either it's the same switch or there's another switch close by to that switch that allows people to just sort of do the things that need to be done and just keep moving, right? But then you hear about people who are living like these totally random kind of lifestyles. Like, I know that there's this one dude I know. I've sort of known this person on and off throughout my life. They're older than me, but anyway. Just listening to how they operate, it's like 100%. They don't have any conventional job. All they do is see openings in, I guess, society, you could say. Or openings in the world whereby they can turn a dollar. It's entrepreneurship, but like, you know, it's not like high level multi-million dollar entrepreneurship. It's just like, you know, oh, if I get on the public housing list and I get public housing, I can then turn the public housing into an Airbnb and go live with like some girl that I'm smashing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like weird shit like that. And there's a whole list of those things. And I've been somebody who, depending on what stage of life that I'm in times of, you know, grinding it out, those sorts of ideas come to me aplenty. You know what I mean? But then when you resign to, you know what, I want to do the conventional thing, those ideas get pushed into the filing cabinet of the brain. And you don't think about that kind of stuff as much because you're getting the steady dollar. So there's no need to come up with elaborate, I don't want to say schemes, but elaborate plans to, like, you know, how to turn dollars. And you can't, and to be honest, I don't even want to say one is better than the other. It's just how it is. Some people can just see the world like that. Some people, like I was saying, with the meds, it's like some people would have sold them all. And I think that's part of the reason why this is obviously paranoia, clearly. But it's part of the reason why I think that, like, I'm partially flagged. I don't know. Because these are substances, not so much the antidepressants, but, like, the anti-anxiety shit is, like, people would pay a good penny, a good dollar for that. And I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm selling any of this. It's mine. It's for me to take. It's for me. It's like my... The value it has for my own mental health, the value it has for my own ability to become, put myself out there a bit more, surpasses any amount of money, you know, that you could offer me, to be honest. And maybe I'm saying that and it's like, someone's listening like, that ain't true. If I gave you $1 million, you'd give up your prescription. $1 million, okay, maybe. But not for like, what, not for street value, that's for sure. Definitely not for street value. So, you know. And I think that's another thing too. I'm going to extend the recording, actually. I have a lot more to say now about this. One second. Yeah, so the other thing too is that I'm sure the audience isn't dumb. I'm not dumb. People aren't dumb, really. Much of this shit can be bought online. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you find a vendor, you know. I mean, we all know. I'm not going to even go too far into it. I'm trying to go about it the right way. And not the quote-unquote wrong way involving, you know, the deep web and, you know, nefarious characters and so on and so forth. Maybe they're not even nefarious. Just the point is, I wanted it in my own quest of Operation Mend the Mind. I want it more documented in an actual medical fashion. I don't want to be like, I've already tried the years of self-medicating. It didn't work. You know what I mean? I've already tried the years of like trying to go about it in the way that I feel, trying to numb thoughts and trying to numb emotions. And it never really works, right? I had a thought that I just lost. Numbing emotions, self-medicating. Fuck. Give me 1 second. I lost it. Anyway, so yeah, I want it documented. Because if it succeeds, then at least there's a record of it succeeding and I can trace it back and, you know, for future generations, I can be like, okay, look, this is the steps that were taken. You do this A through Z and you may mend the mind. There's also, I was reading some documents about how like antidepressants, they call them glorified sugar pills. And obviously not all antidepressants work for everybody. I'm even starting to wonder whether, well, I think the difference between what I'm taking is that the side effects were so pronounced in the beginning that it was kind of hard to say it wasn't working. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's like, wow, I feel like I'm foaming at the mouth. I'm finding it hard to articulate thoughts. I'm jittering, I'm shaking, my hands are trembling. Clearly this isn't a sugar pill. You know what I mean? Like, or maybe raw sugar does that. I don't know. Maybe if I go take a teaspoon of sugar, that's gonna happen. I don't know. I'm not trying to though. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, people spend years trying to find the right medication. And somehow I've stumbled into the right one. But again, and this is for the people out there too who are wondering, you know, this whole thing about antidepressants. I would say there is some nervousness surrounding what happens when I don't. Like it says right here, refills are zero. So, you know, what's going to happen then? I gotta call the doc. The doc who already isn't answering. You know what I mean? It's all very strange to me. It's a very strange experience. I don't know. I don't know what to think. You know what I mean? I do not know what to think. This isn't even... I'm looking at refills zero. This is not even... This is the wrong bottle. It's fucking orange bottles all over the place, man. I should start tossing them. It's like quasi-hoarding. It's like I keep things thinking that they may have a use. It's not real hoarding. Like, my place is totally, you can move around it very easily, but it's like keeping things in this vague idea of like, oh, it might become useful down the line. It's kind of like, it's even with like things like Christmas cards. Like, you read them, you're like, oh, they took the time to buy me a card, they wrote out Happy Christmas or Merry Christmas. And, you know, happy birthday and all these things. You keep the cards, but it's like, what are you really keeping the card for? You know? Like, I was looking through some papers the other day. I have cards from, like, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's like, I'm not reading them. I tossed them. But I still have this Christmas one. Maybe because Christmas just passed. So it ain't like, it's not. Maybe once the spring comes, I'll feel a little bit more like, all right. When the next consumeristic holiday comes, then I'll be like, all right, time to get rid of this. The Easter cards are coming, so I'm going to get an abundance of Easter cards. Anyway, I'm going to end this recording here. I really wish I didn't lose my train of thought there. I had something I wanted to say. Well, I'll remember it later on and then record a new episode. So, peace out.